evening. How is everyone? You know, I apologize for the lack of seating and how hard it was to find a place to sit tonight. And so, we're all going to go skating in the parking lot after church tonight. So, you know, Pastor Mix, I got to say, this is a special place for a pastor. A pastor gets a feeling while he's standing here in the pulpit like none other. I guess to a pilot, it would be to be an astronaut, the pinnacle of life and in your field. And when you're called to be a pastor, oh, you've got to come here. And you can't sit still until you get here. And once you're here and you allow the Lord to take over, and oftentimes I'm delivering a sermon and I really lose contact with what I'm saying. And the Holy Spirit can be so powerful. You start saying things and you say, I didn't know that. Or, I had forgotten all about that. And all of a sudden it comes to mind. And the Holy Spirit is at work. Well, I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is alive and well here at First Baptist in Kingston. What a wonderful place. What wonderful people we have. There is harmony in this church. And that's not true everywhere you go. Even among ABA Baptists. We've had the same virtual doctrinal statement for ages. And yet, Satan gets his little toe in the door and gets somebody upset. And because of a little thing called political correctness, well, we can't offend. And the next thing you know, the church splits. Well, I don't want to dwell on that aspect of church. What I'd like to start out by saying is, probably you notice there's a difference. Pastor Mix is, he's way up there in the stratosphere. He's way up here. Literally, yeah. And I'm down here. I'm what's known as a good neck pastor. A good neck pastor. Okay. Brother Jim's going, what is he talking about? Well, when Brother Mix is preaching way up here, your neck is like this. And when I preach, you're, you know, hey, you see what I mean? Okay. You know, being a missionary, and I love hearing letters from missionaries around the world, because they have a special job too. You know, years ago at one of the ABA national meetings, they had all the missionaries up on stage. And to be surrounded by fellow missionaries that have the same burning desire in their hearts to teach the truth, it was quite amazing and wonderful. And I thought, this is the way the Lord wanted it. All these men up here have given themselves to preaching and teaching the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I know Pastor Mix feels this way, but you know, when I first got into the ministry, I was 49 years old. And I read that little passage, you know, the one that says pastors are held to a higher standard than everybody else. And it scared me. What do I do if I make a mistake? What if I do if I say can, and I should have said can't? Well, that's an awful burden to place on anyone. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to take over, He doesn't make mistakes. Now, that doesn't mean I'm perfect, by no means. And I have, on occasion, said the wrong word. But when I do, the Holy Spirit does one of these. Hey, Dave, what are you doing? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It was can instead of can't. In 1999, I was sitting at my desk in our home in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Yes, Lord, I know it's you. What do you want? I want you. Well, Lord, I've been saved ever since I was 10 years old, and I've tried to do what you wanted me to do. He said, I want more of you. How much more, Lord? How about Sunday? You know, that's a given. And Wednesday, you've got Sunday and Wednesday. You want a Friday? No, I want you all the time. Really? What do you want me to do? I want you to be a pastor. Really? You know I have not been to seminary. Where have you been since you were 10 years old? In the church? Have you learned anything, David? Yeah. Have you learned enough to tell other people about what you've learned? Yeah. I want you, and I want you now. Well, there we were in Arkansas, Baptist, Missionary Baptist Church everywhere, right? So I start what they call preaching in view of a call. And I started going around to these Baptist churches. And you know what? It was terrible. It was awful. I went to one church that was out in the country, but it was a big church. And just like this evening, I came up to the pulpit. I stood there and looked, and everybody was sitting in the back of the church. The first five or six pews were completely empty. And everybody's sitting back there in the back of the church. That's when I really thought, Lord, what am I doing? You know, what's wrong? Well, I'd had it. And I said, Lord, I don't want you to guide me anymore. I want you to grab me by my collar and you take me wherever you want me to go and I'll go. There are 50 United States. And I've lived in some of them, many of them. And the one that I said I would never, ever go back to is Arizona. The next day, I get a call. This man is on the phone. He doesn't say, hi, how are you? He says, David, have you ever thought of being a missionary? And I thought, well, okay. Somebody wants me to go to Africa. Karen, you want to go to Africa? No. I want you to go to Arizona. The one state I said we will never, ever go back to. God has a sense of humor. And so, next thing I knew, there was an airplane ticket for Karen and I to fly to Phoenix and I delivered a message in front of our sponsoring church, the 36th Street Missionary Baptist Church in Phoenix. And I felt like I belonged. This was where I felt God wanted me to be. Of course, that was Phoenix. Have you ever been to Phoenix in the summer? You know, one of my favorite hobbies when we were living there was catching flies. And I'd take them to the door, and you'd hear the little guy go, no, no, no. And you throw them out, and they go, poof. It is that hot. And so here I was in Phoenix feeling like this is really good. But where's the missionary? Where's the mission? It's up in Chino Valley. It's in the high country. It's cooler in the high country. And so I went up there, preached a sermon, and they liked me and voted to bring me to Chino Valley. You know, 18 years later, it was time to go, and I knew that the Holy Spirit was leading me away from Chino Valley. And I loved it. I loved Chino. Little town, more horses than people. There are little signs on people's fences that say, my dog can make it to this fence in 2.3 seconds. Can you? People like their privacy. And that took a little getting used to. But the thing that was the most challenging was that it's a Mormon town. It was founded by the Mormons. And the Mormons were in control of the town. They're nice, but they don't make it easy for Baptists. Especially when you're trying to get things done that require permits and things like that. But the Lord saw us through, and when we left, the church was in good shape. It has since imploded. But I pray for them, and it's not beyond hope that they might recover. But please keep them in your prayers as well. Tonight, I want to talk to you from the book of Matthew. Matthew is an interesting person. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7 for a while. When you look at Matthew as a person, he's probably the last person you would think would make an apostle. He was a tax collector, not for the Jews, but for the Romans, and he was a Jew. That's kind of like being a traitor. It's not kind of like, it is being a traitor. That's exactly the way they looked at Matthew. And I say that because when you read his words that he wrote, the things that he wanted to convey to us about the things that he saw in the life of Jesus Christ, he did it very, very well. How wonderful it is that we have his writings. And so when we look at the book of Matthew in chapter 7, starting at verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Pastor Mix, have you ever seen a wolf in sheep's clothing? They're frightening. We had a couple in Chino that did their best to destroy the church. You know, it was interesting how it worked, because in the beginning, this wolf in sheep's clothing was very friendly and very cordial and did everything in the world for you. Always there, was a part of the choir, did all kinds of wonderful things. And then, in a very short period of time, things began to turn. It was a horrible experience dealing with a wolf in sheep's clothing. But the thing that saw Karen and I through this trying time was God's Word. I talked to Pastor Todd Bray in Malvern, Arkansas. He had been our sponsoring church when we organized. We were good friends. He said, "You know, I stood with you throughout this." And I said, "Yes, sir, and I really do appreciate it." He said, "You know that someday you and I are going to have to stand before Jesus Christ and give an account of what happened." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Are you willing to do that?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And I said, "Are you willing to do it?" And he said, "Yes, sir." Dealing with a wolf in sheep's clothing, it's not an easy thing. And God forbid one or more should ever show up here. These are trying times for churches in America. Just in a general speaking, when I began my ministry in 1999, I checked to see how many people went to church. And I found statistically that about 80% of the people in America at that time went to church. I checked a few nights ago and it was down to 20. What's happening? Well, maybe there are wolves in sheep's clothing destroying churches. You know, I've been in a church that has been associated with the American Baptist Association ever since I was 10 years old. And so, yeah, I'm kind of fond of them. I like the doctrine. I think it's very sound and scriptural. I think if the Lord were to say, "Is this the kind of church that should be?" we can say, "Yeah. We follow what you have taught us. We follow the words of Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John." And I'm saying that because we can have confidence in who we are. We can believe in who we are. I've often thought, how could I defend a doctrinal statement of some other church? You know, I probably couldn't. Not with the same degree of confidence that I have in the doctrinal statement that we have. I hate to tell you this, but you know, doctrinal statement has become dirty words in America. You know, they say it's very exclusionary. Yeah, it is. Why would it be exclusionary? Because Jesus was. Amen. Pastor Mix, in a sermon recently, talked about the Lord's Supper and how that in that room that evening, Jesus' mother wasn't there. Mary Magdalene wasn't there. Who was there? The people, the men that he had called out. And they were having a church service. Now, if you read the book of John very carefully, you will see that before Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he told Judas Iscariot, go. Go do what you got to do. Judas, who was an unrepentant sinner, was not going to be at that table. He was not going to be in fellowship with Jesus or the other apostles. You know what I call that? Closed communion. Am I wrong, Pastor Mix? You know, the thing that I really love is knowing where I stand with the Lord. I don't have any doubts. If I sin, you know, there's that Holy Spirit slapping me in the back of the head again. I won't do it again because that kind of hurt. But you know, how do you feel? Does it make you feel good to come to a place and know that the member in front of you, behind you, and beside you, have similar beliefs than you do? And you know, when that happens, you can get a lot done. In this church, let me tell you, you get a lot done. What's important to a missionary Baptist church? Missions. Does this church place great emphasis on missions? Mm-hmm. And you know, as long as you do, I do not believe the Lord will allow you to fail. When I left, and the pastor that took over turned away from missions, there it goes. Missions. You should know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Have you checked your fruit basket lately? Is there any fruit in the basket? I hope so. When I talk with the brothers and sisters of this church, I see a lot of fruit being harvested. There's a lot of work that the people of this church do because they love the Lord. Praise the Lord. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Oh, this is a hard thing to do, Pastor Mix. You see someone that they come to church every Sunday. And, you know, they have a love for church. And you ask them, what are you interested in? Have you ever thought about being a teacher or a helper of some kind? No, people today don't want to get involved in church. When I was a kid and going to a little Baptist church in Hawaii, there were all kinds of people there from all kinds of nationalities. And in church, everybody got along. And that was one of the workingest little churches I've ever seen. It even got my dad going for a while and helping out. Do you love the Lord? Do you serve the Lord? Or do you want Him to serve you? You know, it gives me great joy when I do something for the Lord. I've gotten where I don't like doing things necessarily for myself too much anymore. I love my family. I love my church family. I love my heavenly family. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but a lot of the prophecies that have to come true before the Lord returns have come true. We're standing, I believe, on the very of time. Yes. It's time for people to start filling their baskets with fruit. We can't hold back any longer. Does it bother you to know that that person that you work with, that person that you sit across from, if they died, would probably go to hell? Have you ever contemplating how bad hell really is? Have you realized that you wouldn't want your worst enemy to go there? And if you don't want your worst enemy, what about your brother, your sister? Maybe you have a child that don't want to have anything to do with the Bible, Jesus. Leave me alone. Where's your fruit? If you would, turn in the back of your Bibles to the book of Revelation, to the 22nd chapter, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That pretty well sums it up. There is someone who has the power and authority to save your eternal life. He paid the price, of course, on the cross. In that moment, when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Abba, Abba, Sabachthani. When I read those words, I cringe because he just took my sins upon himself. I believe he is the Alpha and Omega. He does have the power and authority to take away my sin. He has the power and authority to take away your sin. And he has the power and authority to take away the sin of that person that you know probably wouldn't make it to heaven if they were to die that day. If they will just accept. How are they going to accept if we don't tell them? They're not going to go to church. And Lord help them if they turn on their television on Sunday morning and try and listen to some of these televangelists. They may get them, but they don't get them to heaven. They get in their checkbook and their credit card. It's up to us. Why are we here? Why do we come to church? To hear the singing? It's great. To hear the pastor? He's great. He's a good pastor. And he knows his stuff. But if we don't take what we have learned and become missionaries ourselves to the communities in which we live, there won't be much fruit in the basket. You know, and behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. All this time we've heard you can't, good works won't get you into heaven. And you know what? They won't. So why is Jesus talking about good works here? Because as a result of your salvation, of your acceptance of the greatest gift that's ever been given, you should produce good works. And you will be rewarded for it. You know, it's not easy. I know. I've been away from the pulpit for a year and a half now. And I see things on television that I just... I can't believe this world is... My goodness, the politics. Everybody go home, take a break. For you and I, it's quiet. There's not many people here. I want to take just a moment of your time. I'd like for you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I want you to think for a minute about the people that you are associated with that you might could help. And think about how you're going to help them. It begins with prayer. And you know what? It's okay to pray for yourself, to give you strength and wisdom to reach out to those that don't know what you know, have not accepted the promise that you have accepted, that don't know the love of a loving God. that don't know the power of the Holy Spirit, that don't know the love that Jesus had for those who nailed him to the cross. Pray for just a moment. Amen. I hope you have someone in mind. I hope you have a plan in mind. Because God has a plan for you. And it's a good plan. He is the Alpha and Omega. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and I thank you for those that have come, brave the weather, to hear your word and to sing your praises and to contemplate the things that I hope have touched hearts and minds. Lord, it's not easy, but you know it wasn't easy for you either. Matter of fact, I think you probably had it a little rougher than we did. But you know, you're still there for us. We can still fill our basket with fruit as long as we have a heartbeat. Help us to have a good harvest. Help us to help those in our family and friends, neighbors, acquaintances. Help us to help all who are in need. Because the consequences are so dire, so horrible, to think that not only is there a hell, but there'll be a lot of people in it. Perhaps we'll know some of them. How sad. Help us to help them in any way we can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brother Mix?
David, thank you for that.
I couldn't see the clock. Did I go too long?
You did fine. All right. Thank you, brother.